This is Charlie Neese speaking from your senator's office in Wintory, Washington, where for the first time this winter, during the week, snow carpeted the Capitol grounds on St. Patrick's Day. The week was a busy one for Senator Kefauver. Monday, he delivered a full-dress speech on the Senate floor in support of his Atlantic Union resolution. Tuesday, he flew to Miami to fill a speaking engagement. Wednesday, he was back in Washington to vote for the housing bill. And the remainder of the week, Senator Kefauver participated in the debate on the proposal regarding natural gas, which would result in an increase in consumers' gas rates if passed. Friday, he addressed the National Federation of Private Schools Association. But to keep the people of Tennessee informed on issues and activities in Washington, here once again is Senator Estes Kefauver.
Well, thank you, Charlie. We did have a very busy week, and much has occurred in which Tennesseans will be interested. But next week, I'm going to try to not be so busy. Suppose you fire away with any questions that you think the people would be interested in, Charlie.
Well, Senator, there was much big news in Washington during the week. Perhaps the most sensational and possibly the most vital concerned the charges of communist connections in the State Department. How's that investigation coming along?
Well, Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin has recited case histories before a Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee, charging many employees and officials of the State Department with being avowed communist or communist sympathizers. Most of the names Senator McCarthy has mentioned seem to have been originally advanced before the House Appropriations Committee in the 80th Congress, and they have previously been investigated. He thinks there are 57 such bad security risks in the State Department. The investigation has shown so far that some of those suspected by Senator McCarthy are not and never have been employees of the State Department.
Well, Senator, what are your own conclusions from the charges made?
Well, that's difficult to answer at this stage of the hearing. The proof has not all been made as yet, and we cannot know just what proof Senator McCarthy will be able to produce. Thus far, I would say in all fairness to those accused and to the efforts of Senator McCarthy, that no evidence has been brought forth either to set our minds at rest on the issue or to justify the accusations. We shall have to wait and see what happens before anyone can be justified in drawing a conclusion for sure one way or the other. Of course, if there are bad security risks in the State Department or in any other branch of the government, we want to see them found out and kicked out, and the sooner the better. At the same time, it's a bad situation to have the character and loyalty of American citizens attacked, blasted in the headlines, aired over the radio, and discussed all over the country if the charges are baseless. At this time, when we have seen convictions in our courts on charges of treason, once a person is suspected, it is difficult for the later denials and attempted corrections to ever restore people's confidence in him if he is found to be innocent of any wrongdoing. I remember one occasion a person was accused by the Un-American Activities Committee. It later developed that it was entirely a mistake, and yet I heard some days ago that this person was still suffering from the effects of having been charged in the beginning. Both of these situations are dangers to our national security. I hope the subcommittee follows its promise in getting at the bottom of this whole thing without engaging in a witch hunt on one side or in a whitewash on the other. And I'm sure that the committee under the chairmanship of Senator Millard Tidings, a very fine member of the Senate from the state of Maryland, will do just this. I might say, Charlie, in my opinion, that I think too much politics has gotten into this investigation. We must assume that the men of the State Department, although I don't agree with them many times on matters of policy and handling foreign affairs, but we must assume that they are loyal and that they want to have loyal employees working for them and that they want to get all the communists out. So it seems to me that in fairness to this attitude and to the State Department, that Senator McCarthy should have taken up his complaints with the State Department, give them a chance to correct any errors, and then if they didn't correct them, then he could talk about it on the Senate floor.
Well, thank you, Senator. Now, housing was in the news during the week also. What happened to affect us regarding that issue?
Well, the provisions which would have made housing available for persons in the middle income brackets was defeated by 5 votes on the floor of the Senate. I did all I could to bring about passage of that provision because this is the remaining gap in our housing needs. Too much of our present housing program has gone for expensive buildings and apartment buildings, which are out of the reach of the average family. The slum clearance program is beginning to work effectively now. and we need to close the breach by providing housing for the middle-income group. However, the bill, which was passed in the Senate, does contain some good provisions. It renews the FHA program both as to insuring mortgages on private homes and for smaller loans to cover repairs and improvements. Another provision would make possible direct long-term home loans to veterans who are unable to obtain private financing.
Well, that will certainly be welcome news in some parts of Tennessee, Senator. In many places, veterans have been unable to borrow funds under the GI Bill of Rights.
Yes, it will. It'll be of great help to veterans, but it's made clear in the bill that they must make a showing that they cannot secure private financing before they are eligible to obtain the benefits of this housing provision. And then another section of the bill will help educational institutions construct housing facilities for students and members of the faculty with long-term, low-cost loans. And we all know about the need for homes for students and members of the faculty in many of the schools in Tennessee.
Well, so much for the housing bill, Senator. You know, we are witnessing a reversal of form here in Washington. It used to be that measures were passed in the House and killed in the Senate. Now the reverse seems to be true.
Well, that's almost correct, Charlie, but not quite entirely. Recent events certainly bear out a great deal of that statement, however. We passed the bill in the Senate to give home rule and a vote to the residents of the District of Columbia. That bill is all bottled up in the House. We passed the Lodge Gossett resolution to give the people a greater voice in the election of the president. And I think this would do much to establish the two-party system all over the United States. But this resolution, as you know, has been killed in the House of Representatives. And another instance I recall is the bill providing for federal aid to education, which was passed in the Senate by large majority, but has been pigeonholed in the House Education Committee.
Well, now, that the education bill you mentioned was in the news during the week, too. What happened to it?
Well, most unfortunately, the Senate-passed Federal Aid to Education bill died in the House Committee on Labor and Education. A great controversy developed over there over the way the aid program should be administered. The bill the Senate approved would have left it to the states themselves to decide how these funds were to be expended. But the fight in the House was concerned with the question of providing aid for religious schools. The debate was bitter and the vote was close. By a margin of one vote, the committee shelved the bill.
Well, that's a shame. Only one vote in one House of Congress prevents the children of Tennessee from having better teachers and better facilities. But I guess that's democracy for you.
Yes, Charlie, and I hope sometime it's going to be corrected. But the tragedy is that nearly everyone agrees that the states, or most of them, need aid in the educational program. Our children will suffer the consequences unless some means can be found to settle the age-old argument between church and state. That is an important issue, I'm the first to admit. But somehow it does appear we could find ways and means to provide the best possible education for the youth of our country.
Well, there was a bill introduced during the week, Senator, which promises to provide an interesting issue. I refer to Senator Edward Johnson's proposal to license movie actors and actresses. Now, what's your reaction to that proposal?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to read and study the bill through as yet, but from press reports, I gather that Senator Johnson, that's the Senator Johnson of Colorado, who is chairman of the Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee, wishes this licensing to be used as a device to prevent Hollywood producers from using movie stars' personal lives to promote interest in pictures that they make. And there are two sides to this controversy, as I see it. On the one hand, people who are so constantly in the public eye find it difficult to escape widespread attention in their private lives. It may be argued that any segment of the population would produce sensational headlines reflecting on their moral behavior if they were subjected to an equal amount of glare of publicity. It may be argued also that people who are in the public eye should be doubly careful to set a good example for the youth of America. Well, the Fatty Arbuckle case years ago, the Charlie Chaplin and the Earl Flynn escapades, and the recent Ingrid Bergman matters are examples of unwholesome conduct of famous movie personalities which may affect the morals of our young people. From that standpoint, there's merit in the purpose of this legislation. On the other hand, this would be further regimentation of our basic freedom. There might be instances where the authorities who issue licenses might deprive an actor of his privilege of earning a living for doing or not doing something regulated by that actor's religious beliefs or the like. It is one thing to regulate the type of movies our children see, which regulation I think should be determined by the individual parents, and to regulate the private lives of the actors and actresses who appear in those pictures. At any rate, if the bill is subject to hearings, and I guess it will be, and there will be some fireworks will be forthcoming from both schools of thought.
Senator, I see that our time is growing short, but I did want you to say a word about leveling your guns on the State Department over the peace issue during the week. It seems that it's open season on the State Department around Washington.
Well, Charlie, I certainly didn't intend to just be jumping on the department for the fun of it or because other people are doing so, and I dislike to jump on officials of the government because I know that they do have a very hard time, and sometimes their efforts are not appreciated. But the matter of peace is so very vital, and the State Department has such little imagination, that I feel that I would not be doing my sworn duty unless I invited the attention of the American people to this deficiency. The officials of the State Department don't seem to realize that the American people are far ahead of them in their thinking about peace. If our peace proposal is no good, it can certainly do no harm, as the Memphis Commercial Appeal pointed out editorially during the week, to have a convention and to explore the possibilities. It can be approached in this attitude. We don't know what can be done, but we are certainly going to sit down and talk about it and find out. If Atlantic Union is not the answer to our problem, we should waste no further time in finding out that fact. Personally, it is my opinion that the calling of a convention of the free peoples of the North Atlantic region is the next logical step in our path to peace. We are certainly going to have some program to work on and to reach the imagination of the free people of America and of the North Atlantic after the Marshall Plan program expires in 1952. This opinion is shared by a score of my colleagues, and 40 senators feel that much more should be done immediately than is now being done by the State Department to try to have peace by law.
Well, now, Senator, in about 10 seconds here, I wonder if you could tell us what is the situation regarding your resolution to investigate interstate crime.
The resolution, after having passed the Judiciary Committee by a unanimous vote, automatically goes to the Rules and Administration Committee, which allots the funds or the money out of the contingent fund of the Senate for the carrying out of the investigation. In this case, we ask for $100,000. Well, we went down to the committee to get our money, and we ran into a jurisdictional strike. The Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee of the Senate is claiming that it should conduct the investigation and not the Judiciary Committee.
You mean a jurisdictional dispute?
Dispute, that's what I meant. And this will be settled, I hope, next week by the Rules and Administration Committee. Then the bill will go on the Senate calendar, and I hope that before long we will be able to get started with this very necessary investigation.
Well, Senator, I hope you don't get yourself an all over shot with your crime investigation. Now, our time is up, so until next week at this same period, on the station to which you're tuned, when Senator Estes Kefauver will bring you another report from your senator's office in Washington, this is Charlie Neese returning you to your local announcer.